Welcome to the Fiscal Physical Podcast. Join us each week as we sit down with the founder of Alchemy Wealth Management and author of Your Fiscal Physical, Ryan Nelson. Tune in to gain valuable insights and practical tips as we simplify complex financial concepts into digestible lessons. From budgeting to retirement planning, this podcast is your go-to resource for mastering financial literacy.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Fiscal Physical Podcast. My name is Aaron. I'm your host on this financial journey, and I am joined, as always, by the founder of Alchemy Wealth Management, also a published author, Ryan Nelson. Ryan, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am doing excellent, I would say. I'm really having a great time with this podcast. We're really, I feel like we're coming into our own with what we're discussing, what we're bringing to the listeners here. And make sure to check us out on all the different podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, pretty much wherever you get your podcasts. You're going to be able to find us there, and make sure to email us at podcasts@alchemywealth.com. If you have any questions, feedback, anything like that, we'd love to hear from our listeners. But Ryan, I got to dive into this next one right away here, because when we're doing these outlines and everything, or when I'm reading through the different areas we're going to tackle, the progressive tax system is what we're going to talk about this week here. And I am so excited because I feel like we are going to share some wealth, or not some wealth, I don't have any wealth to share, but we're going to share some knowledge with our listeners that I really think is important to know and not a lot of people are aware of. So let's just dive into it, Ryan. What is the progressive tax system, if you could break it down for us here?
Yeah, so the U.S., we've decided that we're going to charge the U.S. citizens a tax on their income, and that is called the progressive tax system. So that's the type of system we're using to calculate the amount of tax owed on our income generated. And so what that means, progressive tax system, I'll also, on a quick aside, I'll tell you.
Sure.
In the book, Your Fiscal Physical, this is probably the topic I get the most comments about people not understanding how our progressive tax system works. So I think this will be a pretty exciting episode. I think a lot of people have a misunderstanding of how the system works, and maybe it's even easiest to explain the system by explaining sort of maybe the most common misunderstanding first, and that is, as we transition into a new tax bracket, that all of our wealth would be taxed at that new tax bracket. So for instance, a common belief, again, a common but not accurate belief would be, is if a couple was earning enough to be in, say, the 12% tax bracket, and they cross over this arbitrary threshold that moves them from the 12% tax bracket up to the 22% tax bracket, that every single dollar they earn would be taxed at 22%. And that is just not correct. That is not how our tax system works. In that example, if they were to go over the 22% tax bracket by, say, $1, only that additional dollar would be taxed at the 22% rate, right? And so so the way that this system works, so we have multiple sort of, I think the easiest way to explain it is buckets.
Yes. Yes. I just want to jump in real quickly, because you hit on a piece that I personally was very blown away by when I was reading your book, Your Fiscal Physical, Seven Keys to Becoming Financially Fit. Find it on Amazon. But when I was reading this section, I was in bed and I woke up my wife and I was like, did you know this? Did you know that this is how our tax system works? Because it is such a common misconception of how it works. So I'll let you take it away, but I was blown away by this, and I think that the bucket analogy is really going to resonate, I hope, with people for sure.
Perfect. Yeah, so let's dive into the bucket analogy. So the way that the progressive tax system works, I'm going to ignore standard deductions for a moment here, and I'm just going to walk through kind of our tax brackets, again, just ignoring any sort of deductions. And so effectively, if you're married, this is in the year 2024. If you're married, right, there's a tax bracket from zero to about $23,000 that you'll be taxed 12% of your income. And then the next you know, tax bracket would be from that approximate $23,000. I'm going to round all these to the nearest thousand. So that'd be from $23,000 to $94,000, you'd be taxed 12%. From $94,000 to $201,000, you'd be taxed 22%. $201,000 to $384,000, you'd be taxed 24%, so on and so forth, right?
Sure.
And so you can think of each of these different each of these different sort of ranges as a bucket. So that first bucket, we'll call, is from $0 to $23,000. And so that bucket is a 10% tax rate. And so you can think of your income as filling up these bottom or lower tax bracket buckets first. So the first $23,000 you earn will go into filling up this 10% bucket. Once that 10% bucket is full and it can no longer hold a single additional dollar in it, then you have to start filling up your next bucket. In this example, the next bucket would be the 12% tax bracket bucket. And so once that first $23,000 fills up the 10% bucket, all additional dollars start filling up that 12% bucket. And again, you'd continue to fill that until that bucket gets full at $94,000. And then you'd have to start filling up your third bucket, or in this case, the 22% bucket. And again, you'd continue to fill that up. So if we were to kind of put some actual numbers to this, let's say there was a couple, right, married, I'll keep these numbers round. If there's a married couple making, say, $100,000, the first $23,000 or so they earn would fill up that 10% bucket. So that'd be completely full. They would pay 10% on that. So they would have paid about $2,300 of taxes on that bucket. The next bucket they would have filled up, that's from $23,000 to $94,000. They would have filled that bucket up completely. And that approximately $70,000 of income would have been taxed at 12%. And then they would have completely filled up that bucket, and they would have had to put some money in that 22% tax bracket. But they would have only had about $6,000 in that 22% tax bracket, right?
Right.
So by them going from the 12 to 22% tax bracket, all of their dollars that were in the 10% bucket and the 12% bucket, they were completely non-affected. The only thing taxed at 22% would be that $6,000 that kind of overfilled into that third bucket. So effectively, this couple would have paid the 22% on roughly $6,000. So, you know, they would have only had to pay, you know, $2,000 or so in taxes on that money.
Yeah. And I really want to harp on this to make sure everybody understands this, because I was always under the impression, whether it be through ignorance or whatever, that when you get into that next, you don't want to make more money because you might get into that next tax bracket and then your whole income is taxed on that. But that is not the case, right? There's obviously, you make more money, you might have to pay a little bit more taxes on whatever spills into that next bucket or goes into the next bucket, but it's not on the whole thing. Like you, me, Jeff Bezos, for those first, like that first bucket of $23,000, we're all paying the same amount there.
Yeah. I love that. Actually, that's a great point. So us and, you know, you, me and Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
On the first $23,000 we make, we're all paying 10% tax on that, right?
Yeah.
So he's not paying, even though he makes a whole heck of a lot more than you and
sure.
I
yeah.
combined.
Yeah.
Each day.
Yeah.
Yeah. he is still paying the same exact tax percentage or tax rate as us on that first $23,000. And he just progresses all the way through this progressive tax system. And he gets to the point, like, to give you an example, the highest tax bracket we have right now is 37%. This is in 2024. So he just has a lot more money in that 37% tax bracket. To give you an idea, to get to that 37% tax bracket, you have to earn more than $731. So for somebody who's earning $1 million a year, they do have a percentage of their money in this last bucket, and that is being taxed at 37%. For him, I don't know how much he's making a year right now, but he's got millions and millions and millions of dollars going into that last bucket, right? And that last bucket has no cap on it. So all the other buckets sort of has thresholds, right? You can fill it up. That last, the 37% tax bracket, that's where just all additional income gets taxed. So certainly Jeff Bezos is, you know, paying a lot more in taxes than we are. But those first, you know, $20,000 he earns is being taxed exactly the same as the first $20,000 we earn as well.
And I really hope maybe everybody knew this and I just was the idiot there that didn't. But honestly, every time I have this conversation with people, the idea of like, oh, if I make more money, like, oh, I don't want to get in the next tax bracket.
Right,
and
right.
That's just not true. Like, I feel like I'm sure there's certain situations you want to talk with your tax professional and everything about where, you know, you make a certain amount of money, it might mess things, whatever. But in this, generally speaking, like making more money is not a bad thing.
Right, right. like you said, I mean, there are some other unrelated thresholds where making more money could, you know, maybe disqualify you from, say, another tax incentive, you know?
Sure.
Maybe if you, you know, if you wanted to go buy a solar, you know, or an electric vehicle, maybe earning an extra $1,000 doesn't allow you to qualify for that vehicle or something. That is theoretically possible.
Right.
But just talking about income tax, absolutely. You know, the more you earn, the better off you are. Yeah. A common example I hear a lot is, you know, so again, so for married filing jointly, there's that big jump I mentioned. There's that 10% and 12% tax bracket, and then it jumps to 22%. That's almost double from 10 and 12, then a jump to 22. That's a big jump. And, so again, that jump, that income or the income threshold to make that jump is around 94,000. And so what I'll see sometimes is maybe a couple's earning, you know, in around $90,000 a year. They're astute enough to realize, oh man, we're close to this tax bracket and going from 12% to 22%. And, sometimes I'll even hear things, to the extent of saying like, oh, I don't want a pay increase at work because it would bump me from 90,000 to 95,000. And I'd actually then move from a 12% tax bracket to a 22% tax bracket. And you know, it's incredibly astute from so many ways of realizing like the different tax brackets and stuff, but it is just incorrect. Like if they jump to that 95,000, they're only going to have, you know, in this example, $1,000 taxed at that 22%. All the rest will still be taxed at the 10 and 12. So, they'll still be far better off getting that $5,000 raise at work.
Oh, without a doubt. And that's a great point to put it like with when it equates to like a raise at work or a bonus or these certain things like, oh my gosh, like what's that going to do to my tax bracket? And in reality, like I said, talk with your tax professional. I'm sure there's situations that might come up that are different, but generally speaking with income tax here, it's, this was just so cool. When in your book, there's like the little graphs and such that show like it, like kind of like going into the next bucket and these things. And like for myself, I was just like, oh my gosh, like how is that not taught in school?
Right.
Like of all the things that I mentioned it, that I think your book should be taught in school, but just that concept overall, I'm like, you know, why did I learn, you know, calculus when I didn't know how the U.S. progressive tax system works? Like
yeah, it
what?
it is kind of funny. What do we always say? Like the only certainties in life are like death and taxes, right? And so it's like, God, we're all so aware that we pay taxes.
Yeah.
And it's for most of us, it's the biggest expense we pay, right? Typically we pay more in taxes than we pay for our mortgage or more than our car, you know? So for most people, it's the biggest single expense we pay. Yet a lot of us don't understand how it works. And so hopefully this helps empower some people to dive a little deeper, dive into their tax brackets and learn a little bit more about how they're exactly being taxed.
Definitely. I love it, man. That's awesome. And I think that's a good place to pause here. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back with some personal stuff here, but definitely we're going to build on this episode as well too. So, you know, please, you know, make sure that if you need to go back and re-listen to it or whatever it might be, this is a very beneficial one without a doubt, but
absolutely.
Hang tight.
And now to put the personal in personal finance.
Welcome back to the Fiscal Physical Podcast for our personal section here. I am, as always, joined by Ryan Nelson. Ryan, you know, I did have a question here because with this podcast, one, I've been learning so much just in general about it. And you as a financial advisor yourself, like, I feel like there's so many changes that happen in this industry. Yes and no. I feel like there's changes that happen and there's things that have been the same forever at the same time.
Yeah.
So how do you personally like stay up to speed on these changes with the, you know, is it podcasts? Is it articles? Like, do you subscribe to a service that gives you like an update? Like, what's your kind of, I guess, the way that you stay up to speed in this world?
Yeah, my two favorite ways to consume, I think, knowledge is our podcasts and books. So I'd say podcasts and books are far and away how I consume the most knowledge. One thing I would say is, you know, if anybody is like looking for a resource or something like that, my two cents would be I would stay away from like the news and work on financial education, right?
Ooh.
So if you're trying to learn more about the industry, you know, you could have been listening to financial, you know, like even in a podcast, right? You could be listening to a financial news podcast, you know, every day for the last 5 years, you may not have really learned that much, right? Like 5 years later, all that stuff you learned 5 years ago is pretty much useless. The stuff you used 4 years ago is probably pretty much useless.
Sure.
You'd probably pick up a few concepts here and there along the way, right? So you undoubtedly, you would be more knowledgeable 5 years of doing this. It's probably not the best use of your time if you're trying to learn more financial concepts. So yeah, I think things like, I mean, this resource, hopefully, if we're doing a good job, is hopefully very valuable in financial education, right? So I'd say focus on financial resources that provide financial education. Stay away from the new stuff. You know, what Apple computers does today or Boeing does today, you know, isn't probably that impactful on your long-term success anyways. And it's, you know, the compounding effects of getting that knowledge, if you're focusing on building your financial knowledge, learning more about the tax structure, like we talked about today, right? That will pay dividends for years to come.
Ooh, so, dividends.
Dividends. So yeah, my two cents would be, you know, stay away from the news, probably engage in kind of knowledge-based, financial knowledge-based resources. My two favorite places to get that is are just physical books. And then second would be podcasts.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome, man. And I think that's a, and the thing too, that I really like, I mean, I love to read as well too. I love books, but sometimes I just don't have the time specifically to sit down and read a book. And that's where I think the industry or the world of podcasts has really exploded. And it's really so beneficial because even if you know, listen to something at 1.5 speed, because you know, only have 10 minutes in your commute or something like that, like you can still get the base knowledge that normally you'd have to sit down and read a book. And like, I just don't really have the time to do that overall. Like I probably make time for it, but I think podcasts myself are that area where I'm like, wow, this is cool. I can, and having like a hopefully a melodic voice in your ear, like also helps like kind of retain that knowledge as well too.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think podcasts are awesome resource.
Yeah. Great, man. Well, we'll go ahead and end this one here, and appreciate all the listeners, everyone who's tuning in here. Hopefully you guys got something out from this episode. Like I said, is at the start, join us on the different platforms, you know, like, subscribe, all that good stuff here. And we'll be back next week with some more knowledge. Ryan, anything to say before we wrap up here?
Yeah, thank you so much. And as always, stay the course.
Thank you for joining us for the Fiscal Physical Podcast. Until next time, happy listening. And as always, stay the course. If you have a question or topic suggestions, please email us at podcast@alchemywealth.com. If you enjoyed today's discussion, subscribe to the podcast to ensure you never miss an episode. And consider leaving us a rating and review on your favorite platform. This helps other listeners like you find the show. For more resources, you can visit Alchemy Wealth Management's website at www.alchemywealth.com or find your physical, the book on Amazon. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention that personal finance is just that, personal. Please don't take anything we say as advice. The preceding content is for informational and entertainment purposes only. It's not an offer or a solicitation, nor should it be construed or relied upon for tax, legal, or investment advice. It doesn't consider your personal financial situation or objectives and may not be suitable for you.